You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
But this one's for Pat!
Welcome in, everybody. You know what time it is. You're Locked On Broncos, and it is time to drop some knowledge. I'm Chad Jensen, the publisher of MileHighHuddle.com. With me, as always, is my co-host Luke Polglaze, semi-pro football coach and NFL draft analyst. Luke, my friend, we're going to talk about some possible late-round finds that could make sense for the Broncos in the draft.
Man, I love it. This is the kind of the place where a draft analyst just gets to, you know, rub their fingers together in malicious glee and talk about the draft.
Amen, brother. Well, we are committed to bringing you a daily podcast that focuses entirely on your Denver Broncos at least 5 days a week. And we're not here to just report the news. We're here to give you a deep dive on your favorite team. So what really helps us out is when you retweet these episodes on Twitter, when you see them on Twitter, share them on Facebook, get them out there, share them on Reddit, and help us grow this thing. We have grown exponentially since Luke and I joined the Locked On Podcast Network, and we appreciate each one of you for that, but we could grow this thing even bigger. And make sure you're following the show on Twitter, at Locked On Broncos. Just take a second and get that done. And check out the work we're doing over at MileHighHuddle.com covering the Broncos. Killer premium content on the Broncos. More deep dive stuff for the Broncoholics out there. Our premium members get 10% off on tickets. They get 10% off on Broncos team merchandise through Fanatics. And then, of course, the work that Luke is doing right now over at Inside the Pylon is indispensable. You don't want to miss it. The site Inside the Pylon just released their draft guide for 2017. And Luke, kindly tell our listeners where they can find that bad boy.
Yep, you can find it at itpdraftguide.com.
The home of our show, of course, is Audio Boom, but make sure you're subscribing on iTunes and Stitcher because the draft is upon us. It is in the air, and you're not going to want to miss a single episode. Now, today's show is brought to you by our sponsor, Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/LOBroncos. Over 180,000 different titles to choose from for your iPhone, your Android, Kindle, MP3 player. With your free trial, you can listen to titles like Girl on the Train, there's different Star Wars stuff, The Hobbit, multitude of bestsellers. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/LOBroncos. Again, that's audibletrial.com/LOBroncos for your free audiobook. It's a great service. I use it on a daily basis, and make sure you take advantage of this offer. Now, here we are. You know, it's that time of year. It's soon upon us anyway. We got to turn the bottom of the roster. The roster is going to turn over, and each and every year we experience that in the NFL. It's the time where the top NFL talent evaluators, honestly, where they make their money. And it's where the front offices around the league are struggling to make their bones. It's where you get the bottom five guys on the roster who may be inactive, maybe they're playing special teams week to week, and it's how they make an impact. And more often than not, you'll find those guys are drafted late in the NFL draft. Now, yesterday, we talked about some guys who may be on the roster bubble, some recent draft picks for the Broncos. Today, we're going to talk about some names who could make an impact if the Broncos were to take a flyer on them in the upcoming draft. And the guy we're going to land on first here is a very interesting running back prospect. You've heard us talk about how this time around, this year's draft class is strong when it comes to the running back crop. And this guy is hails from the Rockies. His collegiate ball, he played at BYU. We're talking about the 6 foot, 212-pound running back, Jamal Williams. Luke, this is a guy, we know the Broncos need some depth at running back. There's been debate about what type of running back they need. Do they need a change of pace guy? Do they need more of a power scheme type running back? Are they looking for someone who can do a little zone, a little both? You know, where do they fall? Tell us about Jamal Williams and how he fits and where the Broncos might be able to nab him in the upcoming draft.
Yeah, so if you listen to me, if you listen to Eric Trickle, also at Mile High Huddle, you'll know that we're both really high on Jamal Williams. He's a guy with fantastic patience, which is just so rare for a college running back. A lot of college running backs are just going to kind of take the ball, maybe shuffle step, and then hit the hole, and they don't really have the kind of the patience or the vision to see, you know, what they're running themselves into, quite literally. Now, Williams has those things. He's not just a small school running back that you just hear about every year. There's going to be this guy, and everybody's like, "Oh, he's the real deal." Sometimes those guys pan out. Sometimes they don't. I really like him. I think he's got a lot of talent. Now, he is kind of more in the short and stocky mold. He doesn't have ridiculous NFL speed. I mean, he ran a 4.59 40, so straight line speed. He is not all that. A lot of people are saying he's going to go day three. I think he does, just because of the absolute quality of this running back class. But if you want him, you can get him. I think you're going to be able to get him in the fourth, fifth round. This guy, you know, I have this written in my notes time and again. Decisive. He, you know, once he sees the opening, sees the hole, he makes his cut, he gets upfield, and he knows when to put his head down and gain yardage. He's a complete back. I really think he is. He needs a couple of NFL refinements here and there, but really, when it comes down to it, this is a guy who can play on day one. Feeling isn't that much higher. I don't think he's gonna, you know, wow you 3 years from now by making some kind of huge developmental leap. Pretty much what you see with him is what you get, but what you get is a very quality player right now.
Well, and one thing we know about Mike McCoy's offense is he really likes to involve his running backs in the passing game. And you look at what the Broncos have right now in C.J. Anderson and Devontae Booker. Both guys are, I would say, better than average receivers out of the backfield. Jamal Williams, do you see this as a guy who has three down capability? I mean, not only as a possible receiver out of the backfield, but a guy who can pick up blitzers and help keep guys off their quarterbacks back for just that much longer.
Yeah, well, he had a great week at the Senior Bowl, impressed a lot of people down there as well. In terms of receiving, I think he can be a receiving back. His first 2 years in school, he caught 27 and 18 passes consecutively. In his last 2 years, he caught just 15 combined. So I definitely think that there is room for him to kind of carve out that role. I'm not super impressed with his pass blocking, but again, that's just kind of a trending theme, so to speak, with college running backs. I do think that he's kind of more of the mold of the guys who are already on the roster. So Denver is probably going to look for a different type of mold of guy. I know that one who's been getting some kind of run is a guy who I haven't really watched yet, which is why I'm not the one bringing him up. But it's a kid out of Coastal Carolina that I know Eric has previewed. Is it D'Angelo Henderson, I think?
Yes,
if correct. Memory serves.
Yep, you're right.
Like I said, I haven't watched him, so I don't really know what he's about. But Eric is really high on him, and he's kind of more that shorter guy, but he's got some slice and dice to him in the open field, whereas Jamal Williams is, you know, he's happy to run through you and keep his legs going.
Absolutely. Well, and one thing, too, that Williams has going for him is, you know, playing ball in Orem, Utah, which is where Brigham Young University is. Not quite the elevation of the Mile High City, but still significantly higher. It's the altitude of the Rockies, and we haven't seen it play out so much at the skill positions, but we know that the Broncos have shown a penchant to go with guys in the draft who have a little experience playing at altitude, and the next guy we're going to talk about certainly has that. Now, the Broncos, and Luke and I touched on this a little bit yesterday, but they're in a situation where they need to start planning and for the future as it relates to their cornerback group, because you look at the top three guys on the roster, or excuse me, on the depth chart rather, in Aqib Talib, Chris Harris Jr., and then Bradley Roby. Harris Jr., he's locked down under contract, shows no signs of slowing down, still in his prime and all that. Aqib Talib, though, wrong side of 30, getting up there. He's, even though he had his best season as a pro last year, arguably, his off-the-field antics are a ticking time bomb that you never know when that's going to explode and blow up in your face, so to speak. And then with Bradley Roby, as impressive as he's been as a pro, the Broncos have for whatever reason, drag their feet on picking up his fifth-year option. They still have some time to do that, so I don't want anybody to panic. There's still time left for the Broncos to get that done. But you start trying to figure out what the Broncos are going to do depth-wise, start positioning their roster for the long-term ramifications. And one guy, again, another altitude guy, Colorado Buffalo, who could fit the bill, is the 6'3", 198-pound Akella Witherspoon. Luke, tell us about this guy.
Yeah, so Akella Witherspoon, he wasn't really on a lot of people's radar kind of coming into the draft process. I actually remember I was at the Colorado spring game. He transferred in, and this would have been his sophomore year, so I think 3 or 4 years ago. It was 2014, so about 3 years ago. I actually was at the spring game, and he had, like, an interception, and everybody was like, who is this kid? Like, we don't even know who he is. He's the new transfer. And he kind of got buried on the depth chart, quite honestly, behind guys like Chidobe Awuzie, who's going to be a high-round pick this year, Ken Crawley, who ended up with the Saints starting this year. And really what we're talking about with Witherspoon, he's a big dude. This guy has wingspan to spare. He's 6'3", 198, and the NFL really likes these guys who are what we call height, weight, speed guys, especially at cornerback. They're tall, they're heavy. Usually they're a little bit heavier. He's a little bit underweight, and they can run. He ran a 4.45 40 at 6'3", 198, which is really impressive for a guy that size. But what's more impressive when he uses it on the field, he's still really raw in terms of playing on the receiver. But when he comes to playing the ball, incredibly aggressive. He has a great 40.5 inch vertical jump that allows him to really get up and attack the football. I believe something like 23 passes defense this year, which is just a ridiculous number for a boundary corner. So he's not going to be afraid to go up and get the ball. He's really going to have to work a lot more on his press technique when it comes to the NFL. His footwork is really all over the place right now. But I think it's going to be interesting to watch his draft stock, because if it rises, I think it could easily rise into the top 100, just because he's long and he can run, and the NFL values those guys. Yep. To match up with the premier wide receivers of the league. Now, he's not ready to start day one. He's probably not even ready to play defense day one. He needs a lot of development. He needs an NFL weight room to kind of put some muscle on that body. But 3-4 years from now, he could be a significant contributor to a team just based on that length and those ball skills. But right now, I think he's going to go fourth round kind of range.
And that's what I was going to ask you. Where do you think he fits in the draft? You know, the Broncos, from what this kid, his potential, from what it looks like, that would be pretty good value. And we know that both in free agency and the draft, that's something that the Elway front office really likes to focus on. Now, before we get to our next guy, real quick, just a reminder, make sure that you are subscribed to John Ledyard and Luke Easterling's Locked On NFL Draft. Great show, great friends, great guys, very knowledgeable. And also Matt Williamson's Locked On NFL on the Locked On Podcast Network. All right, now next up, you know, we've talked about the Broncos and John Elway specifically not being the type to turn a blind eye to the strengths of a particular draft class. And one of those strengths in 2017 is defensive line. Now, the guy getting all the attention, most of the attention anyway, in Alabama is all big Jonathan Allen. But his partner, a guy who 6'3", 310 pounds, is poised to make an impact as well at the next level, is Dalvin Tomlinson. Now, this might be one of those guys, Luke, that could be a mid to late round steal. Tell us what you know about the big boy from Alabama.
He does have a couple of injury issues. He's torn both ACLs, one and one in Alabama. But really, he is a powerful guy. He's not a guy who stands out particularly well athletically. He's just kind of pedestrian across the board when it comes to that. But he's a heavy-footed guy, and I mean that in a good way. Once he gets his feet planted, he will drive. He's kind of just been buried by the talent on that Alabama defensive line. But when you go down and you watch the tape, he's impressively quick in a small area for a guy who's, 310 pounds. He's pretty good at moving laterally. He's not going to really kind of wow you with any kind of spin moves, but I think he can definitely push the pocket up front and be a force against the run. He's got a really heavy, like, hard punch that's really going to knock and kind of jar offensive linemen around a bit. I think he's another one of those guys who's kind of close to a ceiling right now, but it's going to be a rotational guy at the worst and I think a starter at the best in the NFL. He's just not an athlete, and that's going to drop him down a lot of NFL teams' boards. I think he's going to end up kind of going early day three again. It's kind of the theme here. I think he might slip into round three. He's just a powerful guy with good technique. We know that this is what comes from Alabama year in, year out. So he's kind of a known product for what he's had for coaching, but I don't think that's any kind of a knock on him.
Now, is he a guy who at the next level, well, let's project him for the Broncos. Is he a guy that fits in as a nose tackle, or is he a guy that can play the five tech, or maybe even both?
Yeah, I think he can do a bit of both. I'd honestly rather throw him in kind of in sub packages where he can play the one tech and kind of work when they go to that even man front and kind of work off that leverage on the center. I don't think he's a guy who's really going to split double teams consistently against the run. I think he can kind of hold up and do his job there. I don't really think he's the guy who's going to kind of knife in as a five tech. He's going to kind of be more the slow and steady five techs. But again, he's got the kind of rotational ability that you like. You can mix and match him, I think, across different spots. And I think, you know, for is they're an incredibly complex defense. They're an NFL level defense. He can run your stunts and twists up front too.
Well, we got one more guy we're going to talk about as a possible late round steal that could make sense for the Broncos. And this is going back to another strength in this year's class, which is the wide receiver group. Now, we touched on the receivers a little bit yesterday as we broke down the situation of Cody Latimer. But if you look at the Broncos depth chart, you have, of course, Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders at the top. But beyond them, it's a free-for-all, really. Just, you know, handful of undrafted guys, veteran, you know, couple of journeyman veteran type guys, and then the second round pick who Denver's still waiting to make an impact as a skill position player. So they need to build some quality depth there. And one guy who could make sense for the Broncos is the 6 foot two and a half or so, 175 pound. He might be a little bit bigger than that. Texas A&M receiver Josh Reynolds. Now, Luke, this is a guy I know that you kept an eye on in particular. Tell us what you know about Reynolds and why he might make sense for the Broncos in the mid to late rounds.
He's kind of if you were to match up him and kind of correlate him with a defensive back in this class, it's ironically going to be Akella Witherspoon. He's another kind of tall, lanky guy who fights for the ball and just goes up and gets it. At 6'3", 194, he's just got length, which you love in an outside receiver. And again, like I said, he's got ball skills. He's going to go up. He's going to high point the football. He does a really good job using his body to kind of shield the defender and box him out. I don't love that term, but it's what he does well. He's not a great route runner. I think his footwork really kind of coming off the line is just not impressive, and he can really improve his hands there. His hands can be a lot better with the placement and with their power, but man, he can go up and get it. You throw it up there, he'll go get it, which is just so fantastic for a young quarterback, just giving them that kind of safety blanket. And you know, it would be hilarious to just match Josh Reynolds up against Akella Witherspoon in training camp and just kind of just throw it up and let them both go and try and get it. I think Reynolds might slip as far as the fifth round, and on an NFL team looking at him and saying, yeah, we can afford to kind of develop him along again, hit the weight room, get some strength on him, get some weight on him, and then kind of roll with that. So it's going to depend if an NFL team has the ability to wait on him for that.
Absolutely. Well, and yeah, I mean, it sounds like a guy that definitely has some potential that could be mined in this year's draft class. And we're going to continue to try and bring you some of these diamonds in the rough to keep an eye on, because as much as John Elway has struggled at times with his earlier picks, you know, especially his second and third rounders, as a front office GM, he really has over the years hit on some mid to late round guys. You look back in Julius Thomas, you look back at Malik Jackson, Danny Trevathan. I mean, we know that Gary Kubiak was the driving force behind the Trevor Siemian pick, but Elway was the guy that ultimately pulled the trigger on that. And for a seventh round pick, I mean, I think we can all agree that Trevor Siemian exceeded some expectations in that regard as a first-time starter last year. So that's kind of the sweet spot that we like to pay attention to, and we'll continue to bring you some of those names as we get closer to the draft, and especially as we study some of these prospects leading up to draft day. But that's going to do it for today and for this week.
Can I jump in with one other point? One other thing just to look at with Josh Reynolds is that Elway has just stayed away from drafting wide receivers, really, for the most part. He's drafted just two as the GM of the Broncos, and those have been Cody Latimer, who is 6'3", 215, and Tavares King, who's 6'1", 189. So he does like guys who are maybe on a little bit on the bigger side, and he doesn't really have any kind of pattern. He traded up for one and then obviously took the other one in the fifth round. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he doesn't really have a pattern, but he just doesn't have a track record of drafting them. And I think this draft is kind of the draft where he has to go out and take another one, just because it's been 3 years,
yeah.
And see if he can get some fresh young blood drafted in the wide receiver room.
Great point. Well, hey, again, it's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out, and we're going to be bringing you more and more on the draft as we get closer. But it's been a great week. Big thanks to everybody for tuning in and subscribing and downloading and listening and retweeting. Means a lot to us. But make sure you're subscribing on iTunes. Make sure you're following the show on Twitter at Locked On Broncos. You can find Luke in the Twitterverse at Luke Polglaze, myself at Chad N. Jensen. For Luke, I'm Chad, and we will talk to you next week.